Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up tomorrow, everyone's debating WikiLeaks, but what about the guy who allegedly leaked the documents to them? Private Bradley Manning. We'll talk to First Amendment lawyer Floyd Abrams about the rights of the leaker. That's coming up tomorrow here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Right now, it is remarkable that surgeons can save lives through the process of organ transplants, isn't it? It happens every day. We take it for granted to some degree by now, yet it is one of the most miraculous facets of modern medical science. But it's fraught with ethical complications. As of March of last year, more than 84,000 people were waiting for a kidney, by far the organ most in demand. Only 17,000 Americans get a kidney each year, 84,000 waiting, 17,000 available. The allocation system for kidney transplants has been first come, first served, and based on, therefore, who's been on the waiting list the longest. But that may be about to change. Joining me now to talk about the proposed changes, which would take age and health into account, therefore giving many younger recipients an advantage on the waiting list, is Washington Post reporter Rob Stein. We're also joined by Jill McAllister, a kidney recipient and patient and donors affairs representative on the board of the United Network for Organ Sharing, which coordinates organ allocation. Jill and Rob, thank you so much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Brian. Nice to be here.
Rob, tell us more. The proposal takes age and health into account. How would that work exactly?
Right. As you said, the way the system works now, it's primarily based on who's been on the waiting list longest, who's been waiting the longest and has risen to the top, and it's their turn. And among the changes that are being considered right now would be to shift that so that there'd be more emphasis on matching the organs more closely to the recipients so that they would get more years out of each organ. And so, for example, what they're thinking about doing is taking the top 20% organs, the organs that are expected to have the longest lifespan in them, and matching them to the people who would get the most out of them based on how old they are and how healthy they are.
And so, Jill, the system changes that are proposed are designed to make sure that the healthiest kidneys are given to recipients who have the longest expected lifespan to match the potential lifespan of the kidneys. Does this sound right to you as a recipient?
Let me restate that just one moment. The concept we're talking about right now is intended to avoid extremes where an organ that has the greatest potential length of time is given to someone who has an extremely short life expectancy. Fully 80% of the organs will be allocated based on the age of the individual and probably on the waiting time. So it's still the vast majority of organs are still going to be based on waiting time.
And listeners, with over 110,000 people in the United States on various kinds of organ transplant waiting lists right now, and many more who have been recipients or donors, some of you are listening, and we'll open the phones with an opportunity for you to call in and tell us what you think about this ethically fraught issue. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. The waiting list for kidneys is so long, the demand is so great, the supply is short. Is it time to change the system, and is the answer to match younger, healthier kidneys with those who are likely to live the longest, even if it means that older candidates will be put at a disadvantage? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, especially if you've ever had a personal connection to any kind of organ donation. Jill, do you want to go a little deeper into what you just said? Are the practical implications still not that the youngest recipients would tend to get the healthiest kidneys, and therefore more older people, even if they've been on the waiting list the longest, might actually face a quicker death as a result?
Those who have been on the waiting list a very long time will still have an opportunity for a kidney. Now, they may not get the top 20%, but they still have an opportunity for the 80% mm-hmm. of the organs. In the past, we have looked at organs and said that they were either very good or good. Now we have a rating system in this concept that would look at a spectrum of evaluating those organs, and a person would be told you have an opportunity to get an organ that is in the top 40% or in the top 60%. So people are going to have a better idea of the quality of organ that they would receive than they have in the past. So the patient is going to have a better idea of what they're getting into, what their risk is. But you are right. The older patients, those who have been on dialysis a long time, will probably not have an opportunity to get the best 20% of the organs.
And
but they are not blocked out of the system.
Rob Stein from the Washington Post, you spoke with bioethicists about the policy. How do they come up with it? There's no easy answer, obviously. We see the political brouhaha that surrounded President Obama's Medicare reform proposals, where things got labeled death panels for even talking about end-of-life decision-making conversations or for looking at what treatments would be cost-effective and even to raise that notion of cost-effectiveness. But let's face it, organs have to be rationed. There's no way around it.
That's right. And several people I've spoken to about this said that, this is an interesting example. We don't like to talk about rationing in the United States, especially when it comes to health care. But, when it comes to organs for transplantation, this is an area where we have long really practiced a form of rationing and because it's a scarce resource and there aren't enough to go around. And so we have to try to figure out how to get the most out of them. And the proponents of this these changes, are basically arguing that, right now we have some cases where you'll have a 70 or 80 year old recipient receiving an organ from a 20 or 30 year old donor, when there could be a 20 or 30 year old recipient who could get a lot more years out of that kidney, and it just makes a lot more sense to try to get the most out of this limited resource.
Let's take a phone call. John in Morristown, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
My comment is, it's two comments. I disagree with the male speaker who said that the organs are divvied out based on the weight on the list. I've had two double lung transplants, one in 2001, which I waited about 2.5 years for. I had the transplant and then my body rejected. And in 2008, I had the second one, and I really only, from the day I got listed, I waited, I think, 2 weeks.
Yeah. Is it because lungs are either less in demand or less in short supply than kidneys? Do you know, John?
I don't know. I know they're the most delicate organ. And so my comment was, do they take into consideration if the person waiting for the organ has health insurance or not?
Rob, do you know?
No, they don't. And the listener has a good point. In fact, the changes that they're proposing for the kidney system are changes that would actually make the system for kidneys much more similar to the system that's used for other organs, like lungs. Right now, the kidney system, it's not entirely based on how long people have been on the waiting list. They do take other factors into consideration, like how well they match and their blood type. But among the organs, it is the one that for which the waiting time plays the greatest role.
Right. And Jill, my understanding is patients who have a greater risk of dying while they wait for a liver, for example, are given priority for a transplant. So they're not all based on waiting time, depending on the organ. To determine who should get a lung, the patient's chance of death before the transplant and for a year afterwards is also considered. But it's different
that
with kidneys, right? Why is it different than with kidneys?
because the kidney has this wonderful dialysis machine, and people can live long periods of time on a dialysis machine. The quality of life is not the best, but it certainly is the reason that the waiting list for kidneys is 87,000, and the waiting list for all other organs is so small.
Jill, you're as a kidney recipient. What do you know about the donor? Do you get told?
That's very individualistic. In my case, I do not know about my donor. She is still anonymous. I know it was a child, a girl. I know she had. We had what was called a perfect match. And when I was heard about the offer, my transplant team advised me to proceed with the transplant immediately.
Tom in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Okay, yeah. I have a different perspective on this, but, you know, for what it's worth, I'm 78 and have a medical condition where it's not a kidney, but my doctor says, you know, like I would do an awful lot better if I had a transplant, but they wouldn't give me one because I'm just too old. And to me, it makes all the sense in the world because you take somebody like 25. Now, I realistically just don't have that kind of future that kind of person would. And it seems to be kind of wasteful with, you know, all the years that somebody like that could have in a productive life, you know, where, you know, it would be nice if I could get it, but I don't think it would be fair.
Do you have this conversation, Tom, with other people your age? Are they as rational about it as you are?
No, it never came up.
Thank you for your call. Jill?
Yes.
Reaction to Tom?
I commend you for looking at the big picture. I think that somebody who is in their 70s can be very healthy or has other medical concerns. And every instance is an individual.
Rod in New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hello, Rod.
Yes. You have an excellent program. We're constant listeners.
Thank you.
I'm 84 and trying to think about donating my body for science, for whatever use they want it for. But I can't find a list of hospitals or institutions that tell me how to go about it or whether or not they'll do it. How do I find that out?
Rob Stein, do you know?
I would suggest you contact one of the big medical schools in your area, like Robert Wood Johnson in New Brunswick, would probably be a good place to start.
Jill, how about that? If an 84-year-old dies of other causes, is his kidney useful for donation?
Once again, that would have to depend on the individual. In some cases, possibly yes. I know that the oldest organ donor that I am aware of was a liver donor at age 94.
Wow. Should someone like the caller contact your group, the United Network for Organ Sharing?
The caller is looking at for whole body donation, and that would be something that I would agree with Rob that he should go to a medical school. If he's looking for organ donation, he should sign his donor card and talk to his doctors.
Rob, you wrote about a different problem with organ transplants, which is the effect that geographic distribution has on wait times. Why is that?
Right. Yeah. In fact, several of the people I spoke to said that that's really the big problem with organ transplants is the variation that in different regions, you know, the country is divided up into different regions, and depending on, you know, supply and demand in any given region, the wait times can vary considerably. And some people think that that's really the bigger issue that in terms of, you know, justice, in terms of getting people a fair shot.
Sneak in one more caller here from Brooklyn, a recipient of a kidney. Is that right? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I received a kidney about 10 years ago. When I first went to sign up, I signed up for a kidney, a combination kidney pancreas transplant, and I was told because I was doing two transplants, I would be jumped to the head of the list, which I found to be unfair. A couple of months later, the policy was changed. I ultimately received a kidney from a friend, and it's been functioning very well for the last number of years. But I think that the process that's being considered at this point is really fair and makes a whole lot of sense considering the limited number of kidneys that are available.
Thank you very much for your call. Well, it doesn't sound like we've generated a whole lot of controversy here, Jill.
No, I don't think so. And the caller who just you spoke to was right. If a kidney is joining another organ in the transplant, like a heart kidney or a liver kidney, the allocation is based on the allocation of the other organ. So he was right in the pancreas kidney. He wasn't jumping to the top of the list. He, in fact, was going onto the pancreas list, and the kidney followed it.
And listeners, the United Network for Organ Sharing's Kidney Committee is accepting public comment on this change until April 1st, and you can go to optn.transplant.hrsa.gov to do that, optn.transplant.hrsa.gov, or you can find the link on our website at wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show on the proposed new policy for allocating kidneys for transplant. We thank Rob Stein, Washington Post reporter who covered the story, and Jill McMaster, a kidney recipient and a patient and donor affairs representative on the board for United Network for Organ Sharing. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
And good luck to you, Jill, and to all of you who called with organ transplant or donation or recipient issues. Brian Lehr on WNYC. And coming up next, Peggy Orenstein on her book, Cinderella Ate My Daughter. Mom, does this sound like you and your kid? About America's newest version of girly girl culture. Stay with us.